What's going on, fantasy football faithful? It's draft week, ladies and gents. We are here. We are just about to hear the names being called to which NFL franchises will have these players. And we can start making some big-time decisions. We're here for the latest episode of the Future Cast. I am joined by the OG, my right-hand man over here, Mr. Theo Gremminger. Theo, what's going on? Let the people know. What do we got on today's slate?
Yeah, so today, it's no more mock drafting, Matty Keewan. We had to go to the mattresses, and we're bringing our boy Cody Carpentier into the mix because we are so close to the NFL draft that this is all about NFL draft predictions. Matty Keewan, Cody Carpentier, and myself, we're throwing it down. We're giving you 20 predictions for the NFL draft. We're also going to give you our predictions for how it's going to go for the top five picks. This is the last time that I'm recording until we're in Detroit. So I'm going to pack up the mic after this one, but we had to get it in. Ooh. Cody, I'm so stoked you joined us for this one. We're about to be all together in like less than 48 hours, a little bit surreal, but got to get it in, man. Got to get it in. Draft's right around the corner.
I'm ready. I'm excited, brothers. I appreciate you guys having me back on the Future Cast. I've never been on this show before, but I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy to talk NFL draft because that's all we do around here.
100%.
This is Cody's first time ever being on the Future Cast. It's a monumentous moment. We had to break his Future Cast cherry the week of the draft. We went big this week.
That's right. We pulled in an unknown to the Future Cast audience, yep. A young up-and-comer.
Someone that you guys are going to want to get to know, Cody Carpentier. I'm glad he can make his debut here on the Future Cast. Now let's get into it.
So we're seeing all kinds of rumors galore. Like this is silly season. You get a lot of smoke. Sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire, and it actually happens. But we're going to lay it down before we make any of our predictions of how the NFL draft is going to go or any cool landing spots or anything exciting. We're going to lay it down for how we think that the top five is going to play out. There's a little bit of movement with the Vegas odds, especially at 2 and 3. A lot of indecision of what's going to go on at pick number 5. Matty Keewan, you start us out. Lay it down. How is the top five going to go down?
The one easy, obviously, Caleb to the Chicago Bears. I think you could solidify that. I'm going to stick with Daniels going 2 to the Commanders. Adam Schefter was just out there so strongly, so confidently saying he's going there. And every time I talked to Cody about it, he kind of reminded me how that guy's always kind of on fire when it comes to these type of things. So I'm going to go with Daniels at 2 at 3. Drake May, Peter Schrager, he's kind of on top of the whole wine and dine situation. He's kind of the king of breaking that down. And it sounds like the Patriots are going to stick and pick, and it's either going to be Daniels or May, depending on who falls. At 4, I don't think there's going to be a dance partner here for Marvin Harrison Jr. I should say for that fourth quarterback. So I think Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Cardinals at 4. He only took 230 visits. And then at 5 is where I think it could get interesting. This is where I do think the Minnesota Vikings creep on up at pick 5. Get J.J. McCarthy. So you have 4 quarterbacks and a wide receiver off the boogie.
I love it. I love it. Cody, why don't you lay it down? How do you see this going down?
I think I'm starting to think that, you know, I like Schefter. I respect him a lot. But starting to feel like he was interviewed last week by Adam Levitan as well. Everyone's referencing this Washington Commanders podcast. But he's also on the ETR podcast. And Levitan asked him, you know, do you feel like maybe teams tell you things that they want you to put out? And he goes, no, I feel like teams don't lie. I feel like teams are pretty truthful. All these reporters think that everything's truthful, but the fact of the matter is nobody ever goes back after the draft is over and goes, no, he was wrong. He lied about it. Unless it's a top end situation. The top end situation that happened last time was, of course, the Mac Jones projection to the Niners, a handful of years ago that Schefter reported coming in. I think with all the smoke that's surrounding this Washington pick, if you're Jaden Daniels and it's a given, you're not going to be number 1 overall pick, right? All of these guys are happy to be drafted, period. You can interview them. You can ask them questions. I don't care. I'm not a fan of anybody. I don't pick anybody. They just want to be drafted. If they give you anything, it's, oh, I don't want to play in cold weather. I don't play whatever. Right. The fact that there's anything that's come out the last couple of weeks about Jaden Daniels not potentially wanting to play in Washington, not potentially wanting to play here, but very much wants to play for the Raiders, very much wants to do this. It tells me he doesn't want to be in Washington. That information would not be coming forth if it was not true. So, one, I got Caleb. Two, I got Drake May. Flat circle brings you back to Drake May. Three, I got Jaden Daniels going to New England. Four, like you mentioned, there's nobody to tango with Austin Ford. Nobody's going to pay up for JJ, so Marv is the pick. They do need some more of these blue-chip players. They need some studs. Just take Marv. He's just do it. And then five, I don't think anybody trades up again. I think the Chargers stand still and do not go tackle. They go Malik, and it's Malik Nabers at five.
Well, I think that, you know, Cody's prediction would be, you know, fantasy football gold if we had those two landing spots for Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, literally exactly what we want. So I'm going to say my top five, Caleb Williams, easy at the one. I agree with Cody on this one. I attempted to do a Cody Carpentier, Matty Kiwum mock draft. I did a 2.0, and I had Jaden Daniels at pick two. But guys, I think that this whole mess, I think Washington's a little bit of a mess. I think Jaden Daniels' agents getting it out there for a reason. I don't think they want to be a part of that program. The whole thing, bringing in the multiple quarterbacks at once, was super weird. It was like The Bachelor or something. It was really, really weird, really odd way to run a franchise. I think that's there's not a whole lot of like love between the Daniels camp and the Washington camp right now, especially from the Daniels side. And I think that matters. I think it's going to be Drake May at two overall, Jaden Daniels at three. New England sprints to draft Jaden Daniels. Ideal outcome for a team that's really, really lacking weapons on offense. Marvin Harrison Jr. is an Arizona Cardinal at four. And then I do think they get a trade done. I think that the Chargers want to trade down. I think they want to go offensive linemen. And I think that they will accept a trade offer that's maybe a little bit less than some have speculated. But they end up with those two first-round picks from Minnesota. Minnesota gets J.J. McCarthy at five overall. And that's your top five.
Interesting.
I got to say this, though, real quick, though. I was hearing that teams actually do bring in multiple players more often than people let on. It's just not usually the top quarterbacks. And what it usually can be is the owner's in town, and he's not always in town. So they'll bring in a couple of guys at once so he can kind of get the okay and get the feel for the players themselves before they sign off on a major investment like draft.
But wouldn't it be different positions, Matty? I'd bring in.
I don't know what it is, but that's what I heard. This happens more than people know.
They might be one position, but I would venture to bet it's not the quarterback, and it's not all of them at the same exact time. And it's right, not but that's like, let's go to Top Golf with the top three quarterbacks. Like,
right, but that's like circumstantial. There happens to be almost four guys at the top of the draft. They're kind of in the thick of things. So, I mean, it's obviously a rare occurrence. I'm not saying it's
a little weird, right, Matty. Matty, it's weird. Come on, Matty. It's weird.
I'm just telling you what I've heard on shows, that this is not as uncommon as you think. Matter of fact, the Niners have done it, I guess, quite often. That's where Peters comes from. But yeah. Again, everything is relative, right? So the 49ers, did they do it when they trade up for Trey Lance? I don't know. Maybe we should do a little bit of research and find out.
I don't think it's
just saying that's what I heard.
I 100% hear you, and I heard that, and I understand that. But doing it at the same exact time, if they did it at the same exact time, that doesn't make sense. Having them sparsed out, like, oh, you know, Drake's gonna be here at noon, we'll have Daniels come in at 1:30, and then we'll have McCarthy come in at about 3. That makes total sense. 100% that's been done. But having them come have a private meeting together and go to Topgolf together, I can't say I hate it. I definitely love it from a dog perspective of like, fuck it. Which one of these guys is the alpha? Let's go see.
Yeah.
Come in here, and whose balls are going to shrink up? I don't know.
Right. Who knows? Find out. And also remember, the Commanders brought in the team builders from the NBA. They're going outside the box. They're going to try to build this thing, maybe a little unorthodox, a little bit a new wave, you want to call it. All I was saying is reporting to everyone listening that – apparently, this is not as rare as people, but like, it's not as shocking that they did this around the NFL circles. Now, I'm just saying what I heard.
Well, there you go, Matty Kiwum. I think it's very awkward. And I think it's just, like Cody said, if it was staggered, if it was like the same weekend, I would understand it if it's a matter of making these players available to the owner. But I don't know. It just seems odd. I don't get great vibes out of Washington. It seems like even though it's a kind of a new regime, it's still kind of the same old, you know, not quite there franchise. And I think something weird happening on draft night would make a lot of sense. But we're all kind of in lockstep for most of these. I think the biggest takeaway is Marvin Harrison Jr. That domino falls at 4, which is super exciting. That's something that we want for fantasy football. Kyler Murray to Marvin Harrison Jr. sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, yeah. Would love that. Who wouldn't love that? That'd be great, Theo. Fantastic.
So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, Matty Kiwum is OTC, but not OTC with a pick. He's OTC with a prediction. Matty Kiwum is going for gasps on the first one.
Let's do it.
Hey, why do we partner with the FFPC? Because they have the widest variety of fantasy football formats, and it's the easiest place to find all types of fantasy football contests in the world. What if you want to play for high stakes? Well, they have a $6 million prize pool with their Fantasy Players Championship. They also have way too early best ball leagues that start in February and dynasty leagues. They have the closest thing to a liquid market for orphans that there is in all of Dynasty. And the FFPC has sponsored us for half a decade because we are actually delivering information that can help fantasy gamers. And they're generating so much interest and bringing in so many new users, casual users even. The FFPC creates a unique experience where you can both compete against the best and make money. Use promo code UNDERWORLD to get $25 off your first team. $25 off your first team at the FFPC with promo code UNDERWORLD. Go get it!
Welcome back to FutureCast, everyone. We're giving you our NFL draft predictions. We're going to attempt to get to 20 here. We got a long list. We're going to try to cover them all. Matty Kiwum, why don't you get us started?
My first prediction is that Brock Bowers falls all the way to pick 10. And he gets selected by the New York Football Giants of Jets. Feels like they brought him in. Bowers did not make the rounds, you'd say, to these NFL franchises with 30 visits. Went to a select few. Jets were one of them. And he's going to fall right into their laps at 10. And Brock Bowers goes to the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
I love that one. And there's some steam about that right here in New York. Ideal situation. The pathway would be there to being the number two target. And, you know, he's got a huge touchdown upside. I think if Robert Tonyan can get double-digit touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers, I think Brock Bowers could maybe do it as a rookie.
For sure.
My man Cody, break it down. Give us your first prediction. And if you have anything to say about the Brock Bowers prediction, let us know.
I think the Brock Bowers one's fine. I think the Jets are in a situation to kind of just let the board fall to them. They have a number of spots that can be filled, and I think it's all just going to depend on what their flavor is at the time and what falls. My first prediction is that Brian Thomas, whose current over-under at circa is 17.5 as far as draft capital goes, is going to go 18 overall to the Cincinnati Bengals. Currently, T. Higgins is on the franchise tag, and I've mentioned Brian Thomas multiple times as far as being – a guy that needs to be in an offense that can build around him, can focus on him, give him opportunities. And I've talked about Dallas. I've talked about Philly as we've gone through the process. Of course, you could talk about Kansas City and that Marcus Bell, the Scantling role. I've mocked him to Detroit before. But it always comes down to the fact that I've said he is a T. Higgins in any offense. He's not a true number one. He doesn't have the abilities to be a true number one. Despite his size, speed, and athleticism, put him in Cincinnati. They can do whatever they want. If they want to trade Higgins, have at it. If they want to let him walk after next year, have at it. Thomas fits this offense well. I think he goes 18 overall to the Cincinnati Bengals.
I love it. I think Cincinnati, there's definitely some juice there with them taking a wide receiver, and I think that would be a great outcome. But that was my first prediction, and it kind of all ties in line here. The New Orleans Saints – this one kind of blew my mind. New Orleans has not traded down at all since 2007. I believe they have 24 or 25 straight trade ups. This is going to be the first time we see New Orleans trade down in quite some time, and they are going to do so in a very small move with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville is going to trade up from 17 to 14 to get in front of fellow AFC South division rival Indianapolis to take Brian Thomas Jr. right there. So Cody's got him going 18. I got BTJ at 14 overall in a trade-up scenario. But the big takeaway, New Orleans trades down.
That's hot.
Unheard of. Unheard of.
Well, they may not have to get in front of the Colts, because my next prediction is the Colts get into the top 10 and take one of the big three wide receivers. They get inside the 10. They're primed to trade up to 8 or 9, Atlanta and Chicago, and they're going to move up Chris Ballard, who's had the big dogs in for 30 visits. He's looking to make some noise in this offense and get weapons for Anthony Wright, and he's going to have his choice, or he's going to get his choice of one of these three guys, whoever he falls, whether it be a Dunsey or Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, probably not, but maybe he's going to get into the top 10 and get one of these big dogs.
I like that, because it goes. I love how all these are walking into each other. My second one is Roma Dunsey, right? And I was working on this mock, and I've been very quiet. And Maddie's like, "Man, you've been pretty grumpy." I'm like, "No, I've just been quiet because I'm trying
he's
to
been
grind
grumpy.
Out.
Ladies and gents, he's been a
grind
grumpy
out these
ghost.
Mocks, son. Grumpy trying to get ghost. Ready. This 7-round mock draft drops on Monday at rosterwatch.com. I got to get this team dialed in. And then we got the big mock that comes out Wednesday night at about midnight. And the one I've been playing with is, in years, most years, there's guys that kind of work themselves up the board at the last second. And we've heard numbers of rumblings around these other guys. I think Graham Barton, Byron Murphy, Verse, Quinyon Mitchell are guys that can kind of cause some havoc between 8 and 12. And I could see that causing a fall for one player. And, you know, last year at this time, it was Zay Flowers who was getting mocked very high, and then it got actually kicked down to the 20s. Zay Flowers got mocked all the way up to like 11 last year. He fell down into the early 20s. Roma Dunsey, who we think is near the same tier, or some people think he's in the same tier as these other two guys, Neighbors and Harrison. But if he's not really in that tier and he's a titch below, there's a chance he may fall a few more picks than expected. And I have him falling to 14 overall to the New Orleans Saints and matching up with Chris Olave, playing with Chris Olave in New Orleans. I think that would be one of the sickest duos in the NFL, young duos. And it'd be kind of hard for Derek Carr to fail, but he might just still do it. But Adunze falls to 14 with the Saints.
I will say that that's an outcome that Olave dynasty managers want absolutely no part of, Cody, because that you go from an alpha to like a minor alpha, and then in year two, Adunze takes that step forward. Olave is 120 target beta in that scenario. That's not, you don't have the quarterback to support those
value.
Two guys.
120 target beta? That's a value.
That's fine. That's fine. But you know, I definitely, if my Olave shares, I would be a little bit depressed for about, you know, 10 minutes while we're doing our stream. But I get over it because we got so much excitement, so much juice during three straight days of covering every single pick, guys. There's gonna be highs and lows emotionally, but I gotta say these predictions have been great. And like Cody said, I love how they're crossing over each other. But I'm going to go a little bit spicy here. I'm going to say that the top 30 visits don't always tell us stuff. Like, I think that there's some teams that draft their top 30 players. Some teams don't. Some teams, it's like an evaluation process. But one interesting thing that I've noticed in the top 30 visits is the Carolina Panthers have had multiple running backs for top 30 visits. And not running backs you're going to draft on day three. They've had Trey Benson in. They've had Jonathan Brooks in. The Carolina Panthers also have two picks inside of the top 40. I am going to say that we're going to get a shock result. The Vegas odds are going to go out the window, and the Carolina Panthers select the first running back off the board at 39. Mm-hmm. I'm having a little trouble over which one it's going to be. I think stylistically, having a player like Jonathan Brooks really protects Bryce Young a lot. But I'm not sure if they won't go Benson with the athleticism. I'll say my gut says Brooks, but it could be Benson. But the main takeaway, Carolina shocks everybody. We've heard how bad this running back class is, but we get a running back selected at 39 overall.
How putrid is that? How putrid would that running back field be? And I know Canales would love it because he wants to run the damn ball, and they spent, you know, $50 million on guards this year, but Chuba, Sanders, and Trey Benson. Like, puke. Like, nice, because you're going to have depth all year. Whatever. You know some of them are – you know Sanders is going to get hurt. Chuba's probably going to have a bum ankle for a couple weeks. Like, you're going to be able to concoct a starter every single week, but – you know, a respectful starter every week. But, oh, my God, that would just be – putrid from a fantasy perspective. It'd be nice for DFS maybe in any given week. You'd be like, well, I get this guy for 4,300 and he's the bona fide starter. But as far as fantasy goes, I wouldn't.
But you kind of nailed it though. And I will say there's one thing where sometimes when there's a regime change, like Chuba played great last year, had over 900 rushing yards, had over 1,000 combined yards. Yep. But we don't know the enthusiasm level for this new regime with Chuba. When you look at a guy like Jonathan Brooks, and certainly athletically, a guy like Trey Benson, those guys could have the backfield like touches at a very high rate by mid-season. But what better way to protect an offense that struggled a lot last year than doing things like signing Robert Hunt by getting Deontay Johnson, a guy who can win on low A-dot routes, and getting another running back to sort of just take a little bit of the pressure off of Bryce Young, because they've got dudes on the other side of the ball, and that's sort of an open division. So I'm going to say Carolina, shock, running back 39 overall.
That would shock. No, I have not seen a running back go in mocks that high. That would be pretty shocking. Since you went fastball, I'm going to go fastball with my next prediction as well. Marvin Harrison Jr. is not the only wide receiver that the Arizona Cardinals select in the first round. They pair up MJ with Xavier Worthy at some point in this first round.
Yikes.
Whew. Not great for Xavier Worthy, guys, but that would be incredible when you think about that combination with the speed of Xavier Worthy and the alpha tendencies of Marvin Harrison Jr. and the versatility of Xavier Worthy, plus you add in Trey McBride. That offense is suddenly cooking with gas.
Yikes. All of a sudden that makes Michael Wilson wide receiver 3, and he's just a lone wolf out there. I kind of like Michael Wilson in that situation. If you put Worthy in there, it becomes a trio that you can think about, like Cincinnati, right? Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and then Tyler Boyd. And you're like, well, Michael Wilson's now the de facto Tyler Boyd because he's going to be a value every single year for the next 6. And he's a pretty good wide receiver. He's always going to have single coverage. So I would like that, honestly. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen because the Raiders are going to trade up, because Austin Ford's not going to trade down from 4. He's going to trade down from 27. And the Raiders are coming up. The Raiders are going to get their quarterback with Michael Penix. After they go Fuaga at 14, they're going to take Michael Penix Jr. There at number 27 overall.
That's a good one. Now, I've had that in, I think it was Mock 3.0, I had that trade up from the Raiders. They are in that perfect spot to come up from 44.
Guys, you took away one of my predictions of Las Vegas. So I'm gonna have to on the fly it. I'm gonna have to on the fly.
Oh,
it.
That's so, the chaos Cody was hoping for. Let's go.
Cody Carpenter's here with the Raiders drafting, going O-line and then going with Michael Penix in a trade up. This makes sense for Arizona, and you get the 27 overall Michael Penix, really good value there. That'll be a really nice draft from Vegas. So I will say that I think that this is going to be a Denver and Las Vegas both selecting their quarterback in the first round, and both of them are going to try to play like a cat and mouse game to try to trade down. But I think at the end of the day, Denver is just going to bite the bullet and take Bo Nix at 12 overall. There's going to be a little bit of criticism, on air by some of the pundits, but at the end of the day, I think Denver's just too desperate for a quarterback. They're not going to go sign Ryan Tannehill. They're not going to have Jarrett Stidham. It's a complete mess over there. And I think at the end of the day, I think Sean Payton's going to squint and he's going to see a guy who is accurate and can, you know, run an offense a little bit better than the guys that are currently there. And they are going to reach for Bo Nix. The biggest reach of the draft so far will be 12 overall, Denver drafting Bo Nix. Cody, chop it up. You don't like that one.
Somewhere, Aaron Stewart is going to be cringing if this happens at the 12th pick because we're going to lose monetization. He's going to have flashbacks because we're going to lose monetization as soon as Bo Nix goes 12 overall. And that's a promise at the lead desk. We're going to be that's going to be a colossal mistake by Sean Payton. I can see it. I can see it, Theo, and I respect the prediction 100%. But I'm telling you, Aaron Stewart's going to be cringing from wherever he's at on draft night because we're losing monetization the second that happens.
You think people are just going to turn off the draft? They're going to be so mad.
No, I'm going to cuss. Cody's I'm going to cuss Sean Payton out. I'm going to cuss him out.
Well, you can choose your words, Cody. You don't have to use. Yeah,
come on, be a,
you know,
parse your words.
I've heard you use words like jabroni and be creative with your criticisms. You know, oh, fugazi. It's a fugazi pick.
I'll be there's creative.
Some classic Cody Carpentier terms we can use there, guys. But yeah, my Bo Nix, boring quarterback, Denver Broncos. The next Derek Carr, Bo Nix.
God. Yuck.
Back to Matty Kiwum. We're already at prediction number 10, guys. We're flying through here. This is a great pace.
The Buffalo Bills select A.D. Mitchell at pick 28 in this year's draft. They do not make the big move up the board. They sit pat, let the board come to them and take A.D. Mitchell. So the replacement for Stephon Diggs and all those targets comes from that burnt orange down in Austin, Tejas.
I absolutely love it. Like, we're going to continue this train, and it's kind of why I didn't want to talk about these picks beforehand. And Theo's like, man, let's go through and make sure we're not copying each other. And like, yeah, a snipe will come here or there. But also, like, we're talking about some of the same players. And I think it's cool because you're going to get a couple predictions that are very similar. We already have had a couple that are very similar players, similar situations, similar teams. And so I have Ed and I written down as my number 5 one. And I skipped over number 3 because we're so, like, these team-oriented. I want to stick with it. So I'm gonna jump ahead here. And I'm going to pull this one back up. And I put Adonai Mitchell 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs. And the reason I did that and not Buffalo, and I guess you're getting 2-for-1 here because I wasn't even going to talk about this one. But the reason that Adonai falls to 32 and doesn't go 28 to the Bills is because the Bills are trading for Brandon Ayuk on draft night. And however you want to push this, Brandon Ayuk's going to go out. San Fran's going to come in. San Fran's going to double dip on the offensive line. And Adonai Mitchell's going to fall to 32. So that's the pick. Adonai Mitchell 32 to the Chiefs. That's my prediction here. You just get the Brandon Ayuk thing on the side as an appetizer.
That's two predictions. That's two predictions from Cody Carpentier. We're pushing this up a notch. I'm writing down the Brandon Ayuk one. So Brandon Ayuk is traded to the Buffalo Bills straight up for 28 overall.
I think they'll kick him back. What did I write down here?
Like a fourth?
I think they'll kick him back like pick 215, I think it is.
Nice.
Can they pay Ayuk?
Huh?
Can they pay him?
They can make anything. You know that.
So their situation is 2024. Okay. It's going to take creativity, and the cap is not. Our friend Alan Sislowski always says, you know, he never buys into all these like cap issues when people say it. Teams figure it out. They can get creative. 2025. There's a ton of relief. Like everything opens up for Buffalo in terms of like able to spend money. So you got to think they'd be able to figure out a way to do it, with setting things up for 2025.
They just have to give him an extension. This is really all it is. They have to give him an extension and move money. And I would think that that's probably why you'll see it wait. And if it happens, it's going to happen like well around the clock because I'm sure they're working through these contracts. If this is a thing, if they're really in this conversation, which is just a hypothetical, I haven't heard this, but they're probably having those conversations right now, trying to iron a deal out. It all happens behind the scene, but that's part of that prediction anyway.
I mean, what you just laid out, Cody, would be like the big fantasy football takeaway of the night. People would be freaking out. Brandon Ayuk would have a huge correction on his ADP. People would be ecstatic. It would be a little bit of like AJ Brown when he moved over and a chance for increased targets. And then Adonai Mitchell being a Buffalo Bill, that would be incredible, Matty Kiwum, or a Kansas City Chief. If he lands in one of those two spots, people are going to be freaking out and they're going to want a big piece of Adonai Mitchell in their rookie drafts. And a lot of the Adonai haters, we're going to have to do like gymnastics trying to say why you shouldn't draft him in your rookie draft and how he's going to fail. Because there's a lot of haters in the streets for Adonai Mitchell, but no haters on Adonai Mitchell right here on FutureCast. We all like him a lot. And I'm going to say this. I think there's another player that's been sort of beat up. And for good reason, the guy didn't test. And, you know, there's a lot to be like left to be desired, especially when we see all these running backs testing well and having a lot of positive vibes. But I think there's going to be sort of a little bit of a redemption song for the faller that is Braylon Allen, because I think that the Dallas Cowboys are not going to select a running back in the second round. I think they're going to select Braylon Allen at, what are they pick? It's 87 is their pick in the third round, Matty Kimwom?
Let me just double it. 87. Yeah.
87 overall, Braylon Allen is a Dallas Cowboy. And again, it's another player where it's going to be some mental gymnastics, because I do not think he's going to be the first running back off the board. He might be the fifth running back off the board at that pick, but he lands in the absolute nut spot to the Dallas Cowboys. And people are going to have to figure out where they take Jonathan Brooks, where they take Jalen Wright, where they take Trey Benson. All of these guys are going to be gone. But Braylon Allen at pick 87, Dallas gets a guy who can fall into the end zone a lot and can absorb volume, which is what Mike McCarthy wants. Braylon Allen is a Dallas Cowboy.
So Cody was right here in the beginning of the show to keep these secret, because now we're all just kind of stealing from each other's, or should I say, we're all just realizing that we're kind of on the same page with certain narratives and certain ideas. Because I also wrote down Brandon Ayuk as a prediction for this very show and his being traded, but he won't be there for the Bills to trade at 28, because the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to move the 120 pick 20 in the first round for Brandon Ayuk. That was what I had written down. So we both think he's getting traded, but now we're going to be seeing where does he go. So I got Ayuk to the Steelers, going to take over the DJ role, in of course more so than that, to give Russell Wilson his primary weapon.
Now, let me ask you this. If Brandon Ayuk is traded to pick for pick 20, essentially in some sort of a package, do the San Francisco 49ers select a wide receiver at pick 20, Matty Kuhn? Because it's sort of a cascade effect, unless you think Juwan Jennings, who had his moments. I mean, but there's going to be a guy that they're going to bring in, especially with Deebo Samuel, always sort of injury risk and getting a little bit older. It's sort of if they end up, I could see them moving Ayuk because it's a chance for a pivot, a chance to get younger and pivot with a wide receiver in a very strong wide receiver class. Who would San Francisco select? Is there a stylistic fit for you guys?
I think the
Xavier Worthy?
It's possible, but I think it might be that hot move. And we've seen historically, right? The pick moved, the receivers drafted immediately with that pick. So I don't think they would mess around, but I think that the fun one here, the funnest one, fun prediction here, fun time, super happy fun time, they move Ayuk for pick 20 and take Ladd McConkey to be his replacement at 20.
Yuck.
Ladd
McConkey
at pick 20.
That's the fun one. You hashtag, you love to hashtag establish it. So it's understandable. But now we're hearing the Ladd McConkey in round one. I've now heard it from Field Yates, heard it from Peter Schrager. So we're starting to hear more and more that this could happen. He could be there.
I'm not going to talk crap, but I do want to say the two names you just mentioned. Miss me. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
I'm just going to say. Okay, I mean, you want to open up the box? You want to open up the box? I mean, come on, man. Schrager wasn't exactly in the top 100 last year in mock draft grades. Field Yates, last time I checked, wasn't he just a fantasy analyst? He's not a draft analyst till what, this year when they canned Todd McShay for no reason? For no reason.
Hey, that's me. I'm a fantasy guy stepping into the draft role. So maybe I got a little soft spot for Mr. Field Yates and his expectations in year one, because he is just like me, a rookie in this mock draft kind of game. But hey, sometimes you just listen. And Cody, what did we find out when we dove into Peter Schrager? What did we find out? That he had some good nuggets in that mock, even though he was wrong. He had some good freaking nuggets in that mock last year.
Yeah,
and we got to do we're about it in these streets. So I'm just saying, Ladd McConkey. Yeah,
I'm just honest about the Peter Schrager thing, man. I'll give you a extra credit dessert prediction is that he again does not finish in the top 100 this year on the Huddle score. But on to my fifth prediction here. In the last 3 years, at the wide receiver position in round two, between pick 33 and pick 50, there's been 8 wide receivers drafted. 8. Mingo, Reed last year, Watson, Wandale Robinson, Mechie, Tyquan Thornton the year before, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore the year before that. 8 in the last 3 years. This year, there will be 8 drafted between 33 and 50. And wait, is it got 50 or 52?
You said 52. 33 and 50.
I said 33 and 50 before, but I'm going to say there's going to be 8 drafted between 33 and 52 this year. So I get an extra 2-pick bonus because 51 and 52 are the Rams and the Steelers. And those 8 guys are going to be Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, Troy Franklin, Ricky Pearsall, Worthy, Jalen Polk, Ladd McConkey, and Malachi Corley. 8 guys drafted in the first 20 picks of round 2.
I mean, we would be – I would be loving it. You guys would be hating it because you wouldn't get to talk about, like, you know, some defensive player or some offensive lineman. But I would be loving life during our draft stream. That would be just crazy. And the mental gymnastics that dynasty managers would have to do to try to, like, make sense of it all with all these guys with the tight draft capital, that would be a really tough one when trying to establish, like, our rookie drafts who we're going to select. I love it. And, you know, Cody, we sometimes see – this happened in NFL drafts where teams will, it's sort of a cascade of picks that are from similar positions or the same position because of a strength of a draft class. So I could totally see it. And I think in your scenario, it's going to be an under on the amount of wide receivers selected on day one. And a lot of these guys will be on the board. When teams go to regroup for day two, they're saying, I'm going to get one of these guys. I'm not going to try to wait till the third round. We're just going to take one of the guys close to the top of our board. Until we get to that sort of cutoff point where guys stop being a valuable of the wide receiver position. So I would love that. That probably, with that prediction, Cody, that probably means that we set a record for day one offensive tackles selected.
Yeah.
In that scenario. And,
yeah. Yep. I will say the reason I think I feel good about this is because the Giants need a receiver. And if they go quarterback with McCarthy, I like it. Arizona, Matty just mentioned it himself. What if Arizona takes 2 receivers in round one? Well, what if they don't because they have a pick here at the first part of round two? That's another option. The Rams, we've heard some Worthy speculation. We've heard some Brian Thomas. We've heard some Keon Coleman speculation. What if they wait until moving down to round two, or they have a pick at 52 as well? New England needs a receiver. Philly has 2 picks. They could use a receiver. Tennessee could use a receiver. They said themselves. Jacksonville, 17 overall, could use one. What if they go corner? Washington has 2 picks. Pittsburgh loves going receiver round two. Carolina has 2 picks. And then, of course, Indianapolis, who's been linked to receivers in round one. So all these teams are sitting there. It's like, what if they go tackle, corner, edge in the first round, and they all just have an onslaught of opportunities in round two?
New Orleans in round two as well. I think you're onto something, Cody. That could be a really, really fun stretch of the draft. Very, very cool stuff. Back to me, and I'm going to go a little spicy here. I had Sigmund Bloom on press coverage, and he talked about how Pittsburgh might go wide receiver in the first round. And he talked about a wide receiver they're sort of linked to. And I think we could see a Georgia Bulldogs reunion with George Pickens and Adonai Mitchell. And I think Adonai Mitchell is a Pittsburgh Steeler. I think it's the first time that Pittsburgh has drafted a wide receiver in the first round since 2006. And they do it with Adonai Mitchell. That established the run. Shout out to Adam Levitan for having Schefter on. That's super cool that Schefter is doing any fantasy like football content like that. Awesome to see. But one thing that Schefter also talked about on that pod was that Adonai Mitchell is going to be selected a little bit earlier than people think. He thinks he's going to be selected in the teens. I think that, you know, Cody, you brought up Cincinnati. I think Adonai could go there. But I think that he's going to go somewhere, pick 20 or in. Pittsburgh makes some sense. Pittsburgh needs a wide receiver, and why not go and get that sort of an alpha-like presence in Adonai Mitchell, reunite those guys? What do you think?
I liked it a lot.
Bring back the Russell Wilson rainbow balls, baby.
Yeah.
A.D. Mitchell and George Pickens.
I like you, Matty Kiwum.
My next prediction is that we see 6 running backs drafted in round 3. Daniel Jeremiah came out today saying that they expect a lot of tight ends and running backs coming off the board in round three. In my mock 4.0, I did not have a running back coming off the board into round number three. But I do think that that would be where the floodgates kind of open up. I see, you know, multiple teams look with really kind of primed to take a running back in round three, another Arizona pick. They might be looking to get younger, a little bit more dynamic at the position. Cincinnati is going to be looking for running back. Vegas should have their nose to the ground about running backs. Giants also have an early pick in round three. If the Cowboys don't go running back in round two, Theo, you were talking about their pick at 87. They could be in for a running back there in round three. So I do think we see up to six running backs taken in round three alone.
I mean, we've talked about this, all three of us have sort of have this, you know, discussion for months now about how there's going to be multiple guys drafted on day two. A lot of the people were saying that there's going to be no running back selected on day two. I think that Matty Kiwa might, I think that could absolutely happen. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, just wait for the moaning about the running backs for fantasy after night one goes by, the first round of day two goes by, and then they're in third round. It's like, okay, let's go. And then boom, 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 boom. Let the fantasy bonanza begin.
It's going to be just like the Will Levis wait last year. People are going to be just sitting there on day two, just like, come on, man, what are we doing? Why is he falling? And then bang. I like that.
Well, we had that last year together when we were together, guys. I remember we were sitting there just like, why pick a couple of these running backs? And then we had those wonderful landing spots. We had Devon Achane as a Miami Dolphin. We're all standing on our heads. And we're also super excited about the Kendre Miller selection by New Orleans. So we had like those two picks that were close to one another in the third round. So, you know, sometimes you get those big gaps. But like you talked about the wide receiver position, it could be a cleanup round where teams see the value at cleaning up running back. And then once you get past, you know, wherever we cut it off, some of us might say six, some might say seven. When you get past that, it gets a little more of a flat tier, a little less separation. Those guys are pretty clear at the top there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. My next one, I'm going to go round one. Minnesota has two picks right now, 11 and 23. They're going to go defense with both picks. No Penix, no trade up for McCarthy, no trade up for May. I don't think they have enough gas to get up for May, but they're not trading up for McCarthy, and they don't have interest in Penix, according to a little birdie that I talked to just a couple days ago. So I don't think they want to sit there and take Penix. I think they just sit there and they take value, and that value comes in Byron Murphy. In the 20s, it comes in Khalid McKinstry, maybe Fatanu, something like this. I think they clean up with value at positions that they actually need help at. They did well in free agency on the edge, so edge is fine. They could take one, but it would be right now more of a it would inflict or, you know, deflect on what they'd done in free agency. So I think they go value on defense and skip on quarterback.
So in your scenario, Cody, does this mean Minnesota goes into the 2024 season with Sam Bradford behind center to start out?
Not Sam Bradford, but Sam Darnold, yes. Maybe Michael Pratt or Spencer Rattler or something behind Sam Darnold. I think that the big thing is that O'Connell's done well with anybody he's had. Right, he's gotten good work out of Nick Mullins. He's got good work out of Dobbs. Got good work out of Cousins. All these guys that have been there. So he gets a full offseason with Darnold. I'm not saying Darnold's going to be good, but I also don't think this team's going to be that great. So if they can, you know, pick a quarterback up in the second, third, or fourth round, roll in with Sam Darnold. I don't know. I don't really have much optimism for that team, but I just think they go value in round one and skip on quarterback. I don't think they're actually in the McCarthy trade-up situation. I think they want May and May only. And I've heard that they don't have interest in Penix if he's there at 11 or 23.
So where would you have McCarthy in this situation? Does he go six to the Giants?
Six to the Giants. No trade.
There would be some devastation in Minnesota with Minnesota Viking fans, I think, if they cannot figure out their quarterback position in this draft. I really think that would be absolutely devastating. Not everybody has your sort of approach, Cody, with the, you know, we're not going to be that good anyway. Let's take the value. There'd be some very disappointed Minnesota Vikings fans. Let's put it like that.
Well, I will say, I don't think that the team has that approach. I don't think that O'Connell and Brian Flores have that approach as far as what they think of the season. But when we are looking at the whole thing, I try obviously to not have any bias. I'm wearing Texas orange. I'm from Minnesota. I've had my family season tickets. I don't have biases. I'm just being point blank. I don't think this team's going to be that great, but internally they have to think they're good. I mean, they have one of the most talented weaponries in football. Like, they're up there with Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson. It's like, if you put a competent quarterback up there with a top 10 offensive line, it should be all right. But you look at that defense, I don't know, but I trust Brian Flores. So they have to internally believe that they're a 10-win team, but I just don't see it. And if you get Drake May, I could maybe believe it. But again, I don't think they have the gas to get up to 2, which I think is what it's going to take to get May.
Spicy one for sure. And Cody, one pushback is, do people criticize the sort of the move up to get that second first-round pick? Because it seems like they did that in order to get the juice to get the quarterback.
But if you, there was reports that came out a couple of weeks ago about, it was actually Houston that wanted to get rid of the pick because Houston wanted to make room because you have to pay these guys. You have to pay, you know, considerably bigger contracts to round one guys than 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And they'd made that move before the Diggs trade, and they wanted to make more room for the cap so that they could make those other moves like Mixon, like Diggs, you know, et cetera. So I think that really was just they just happened to be in the right spot at the right time where they, you know, Houston called and said, like, yeah, you want another pick? And it's like, yeah, man, we could use a couple players on defense. You know, we could use some depth. We could use a high end corner. We could use a high end defensive lineman. Sure. And it just happens that it fits the narrative too nationwide of like Minnesota's trying to get more picks so they can move up to the top 5. It's like, maybe not.
Right, but they also know being flexible, having the bullet in the chamber is obviously a lot smarter than not having it. So some team calls you and says, here, let's make a move, get you back into the first round. They're obviously going to take it because, like Cody said, they can pivot and fill 2 positions of need. Or if the price comes down to their range and they see May in their sights, boom, they can pull the trigger.
So my Pittsburgh Steelers drafting Adonai Mitchell, that was the first time that Pittsburgh – would have drafted a wide receiver since 2006. This next prediction is a team that hasn't drafted a wide receiver since 2011, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they do it. I think Kansas City trades up from pick 32 up to 26 with Tampa Bay, and they go and they draft themselves some Ladd McConkey. And Ladd McConkey, if you think stylistically, like, he fits in well with Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice, but I think what this is a fallout plan for Travis Kelce, because you look at Ladd McConkey, he can be an elite first down maker for Patrick Mahomes and the guy he leans on third downs when Travis Kelce sort of moves on to the sunset. They know it's going to be difficult to kind of replace a like for like with Travis Kelce unless you can get access to like a Brock Bowers type, and those guys don't grow on trees. So they take an easier route. They make the wide receiver room a lot stronger. They add the versatility of McConkey, and potential to use McConkey in the return game, I think is also an interesting one for the Chiefs.
McConkey, round one of the Chiefs.
Woo! Cody Carpentier, are you okay with that one?
I think it fits. I think it fits the team. I think it fits what they need. It is kind of interesting trying to find them a receiver of fit. And McConkey fits as a tier one route runner. I just, with the Rashee Rice thing, I'm very interested to see if they look at their depth and go, yeah, man, we really need a receiver. And then they go out and they spend a first round pick on one. They haven't had to. You mentioned that before. The Chiefs haven't had to spend on a first round receiver. And it feels like now they have to.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly I don't think the sky's falling with Rashee Rice in terms of how much time he's going to miss. I think it's not going to be something catastrophic, but it certainly looks worse than it did, you know, 6 weeks ago. But it becomes down to is every mistake a guy makes off the field, it's a little less of a confidence level that these franchises have in them. And I think that the Chiefs are not going to pass it up. I mean, Cody, you brought up the fact that you could see this cascade of wide receivers in the second round. Kansas City picks at the back end of the second round. So they're going to get a chance to kind of get their guy, fill that need in round one with Ladd McConkey.
I don't know. I think it works. I think they need it. I think it works. He just doesn't profile for me. And, you know, doing the huddle mock draft scoring system thing that we're going to do next week, part of it, the scoring is you get points for matching the player to the team, but also you get points for having the players. You get a point per player you get right in round one. And to me, when I'm looking at historical stuff and when I'm looking at this class, I have a hard time with McConkey. I have a hard time checking the box next to his name and saying, round one, lock him in. I want him in this mock. He has to fit in this mock somewhere, somehow. For me, it's like I loved him. I saw him at the pro day. I've seen him in person multiple times. I just know that there's some questions with the injuries he's had in college, and I think he's an elite route runner, but and he's not like light. He's not like worthy light. He's not 170 pounds, 185. He's not Tank Dell light. He runs good routes. But the worry I have is that Roman Wilson's getting no push, no love. These guys' profiles are not far apart. And Ladd's just getting a lot of bump right now. And I'm just nervous as far as plugging him in to that mock draft, that final mock, and saying round one. And you guys have talked about Pittsburgh. I know we've talked about Kansas City. There's a couple other teams that have gotten brought up with McConkey. And he's one that I'm having a really tough time, you know, as I walk through this list here and trying to find 32 guys. And right now I'm at like 38 of getting McConkey to be a guaranteed round one guy. And for me, that would be, you know, thinking about the Chiefs, thinking about all these teams. So I like the fit. I'm just having a tough time with it.
Matty Keewan, back to you.
So this will be the first round selection Sean McVay has ever made as the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. And it's going to be not an exciting one for us fantasy gamers, but I think it's going to be very exciting for the football folks. I think with the first selection of Sean McVay's tenure, he takes Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle from Penn State, and gets a little bit younger at offensive line and gets a guy with tremendous upside.
And that would be great value if he was able to get him at that point in the draft for sure.
That's a snipe. That's a snipe on this mock that I'm working on right now because I had Fashanu going 20 to the Steelers. So that's a snipe right there. That's a good old fashioned. I like it.
Fashanu is Caleb Williams' high school teammate. So, Cody, we're also going to see some very interesting stuff with two high school teammates, guys that actually played together too, not just from the same high school. They are going to be selected in round one. I think that's almost a lock.
So this prediction, I'll go, this is going to be a top 10 one. Nailing the top 10 is also very, very big as far as being successful in your final mock draft and as far as scoring goes. The last 2 years, there's been, last 2 years probably I'll focus on, have been a couple of guys that have been hard to pinpoint, right? Charles Cross 2 years ago to the Seattle Seahawks was 9 overall. He ended up being tackle 3 in the class. It was Ekwonu, Neal, Cross. Cross at 9 was tough. Last year, Jalen Carter was one that fell. You know, he was all over the middle of that fluctuation. Tyree Wilson, people nailed it. They got him to the Raiders. Darnell Wright was one of the tackles that was in conversation, though. He falls to 10. I think it was a couple years ago the Jets had, I want to get the pick right exactly, I think it was 14 overall. Elijah Vera Tucker was another name that was brought up late, and he was pushed all the way up, pushed down, pushed all over, and that was the year that Penei Sewell was there, Rashawn Slater was there, and then Elijah Vera Tucker goes 14 overall. This year, that guy is going to be the second offensive lineman off the board after Joe Alt goes 7 to the Tennessee Titans. The Jets are going to go Graham Barton from Duke at 10. Graham Barton.
Wow.
10. That's going to be the guy. That's going to be the Darnell Wright. That's going to be the Charles Cross. That's going to be the Elijah Vera Tucker. All we've heard, and like I said, when you're building these mocks, you got to read through the grapevine. You got to listen to as many people as you can, and you got to sparse through what is bullshit, what is right, what is wrong, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, what historically makes sense, what historically aligns. And when you look at what the growth factor and the conversation has been around Graham Barton, it has been everybody in the NFL loves him. And we've seen Joe Douglas make moves like this. He went Will McDonald last year, Elijah Vera Tucker a few years ago. With what they did on the offensive line this year, Morgan Moses, right tackle, Tyron Smith, left tackle, they brought John Simpson in to play left guard. These guys combine, these three guys' age is like 140. And when you bring in Graham Barton, this is a guy that can play all five positions. He's going to come in day one. He'll take John Simpson's job, and he'll start left guard. And as soon as Tyron Smith goes down or as soon as Morgan Moses goes down, he'll boom, slide over, boom, slide over. He can be that guy that can move around this entire offensive line and keep the glue sticky all season long and protect Aaron Rodgers.
I love it. That you should have started with that one. Because Barton, I mean, we were seeing him going down to like Green Bay at like 25 and somewhere in the 20s. But I think you nailed it. I think the versatility with him, everybody loves it. He's all ACC, left tackle, but he can play center. He can play guard. That would be a very, very fun pick to see him go at 10. And it would, that's how you get some of these offensive tackles pushed down to 20 with that sort of interior guy getting pushed up. Really, really spicy one. Guys, according to my calculations, that's 20 predictions. Do we want to push this to 25 or do we want to say goodnight to the folks?
Well, why don't we just give you, let's go push it to 21. You get your last one off and it's a nice bonus one. We'll go 21 deep and then we'll say bye. We'll let everyone go.
Okay, my last one is it's going to be a little bit of a, like an arms race. We talked about these AFC South teams trying to chase wide receiver, and Matty Kiwam, I know you predicted this earlier, but my prediction, I agree with you that Indianapolis makes a big move up. They find a trade partner in the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta trades down to 15 and they still get their edge rusher. One of those guys is going to be there, whether it's Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, or Leitu. One of those guys will be there at 15, but Indianapolis goes and gets Rome Odunze at 8 overall, and we get those three wide receivers all inside the top 8. Indianapolis takes a huge step forward offensively. That offense goes absolutely nuclear. Michael Pittman Jr., Rome Odunze, and Josh Downs could be the best wide receiver trio in the NFL next season.
That's a good trio. And then I think you make Pierce a weapon when you have him as your fourth wide receiver. You don't need to rely on him.
Don't go chasing waterfalls, Matty Kiwam.
Yeah, you got me thinking. You got me thinking he might be a waterfall to chase there late.
Best ball dart throw. There you go. Low RPO. Alex Pierce gets four touchdowns, but we don't know when. We don't know when he gets those touchdowns, guys.
Yeah, it could be in the span of 2 weeks, and then boom, kaputs, he's donezo. Just like this episode, we got it in the bag. Great episode of the FutureCast here. 21 NFL draft predictions, joined by the great Cody Carpentier. Cody, let everybody know what you're working on and why have you been such a grumpy pants lately?
I've been a grumpy pants because when the draft gets closer, everything gets tighter, the hours shrink. And it feels like you don't have enough hours in the day to finish your work. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty. We're going to be live in Detroit Motor City in a few hours, and I'm excited about it. You can find all of my final work, all my final mocks, big board, the dog rating. You can find the mock and the big board at rosterwatch.com. The dog ratings will be out this week at the draftrankings.com. You can find everything, the draftrankings.com, rosterwatch.com. Appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And it's a great debut episode here on the FutureCast.
It was a lot of fun.
I'm glad you made that debut today. It was great. Long awaited.
And to piggyback on what Cody talked about, the three of us are going to be broadcasting for the entire NFL draft. And it's not just Cody, Matty Kiwam, and myself, but it's also going to be Matt Kelly, the Podfather, Josh Larkey. You're going to have Anand Nanduri. You're going to have Memphis Young. You're going to have Alex Dunlap of Roster Watch. Then we also have boots on the ground at the NFL draft. We have Jason Allwine, we have Seth Dewald, we have Bradley Stalder, all of those, and Anand Nanduri for night one. They're going to be at the NFL draft giving you coverage. You're going to be able to see a lot of that on Player Profiler YouTube. But that's not all. We're also going to do 1 hour recap shows after day one and after day two. No one's going to be covering the NFL draft with as much depth and analysis, fantasy football coverage. And then you got Alex, you got Maddie, and you got Cody breaking down every single pick from an NFL perspective. It's going to be incredible. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, and it's going to be tremendous this year. We're taking it up another notch this year in terms of just how much we're giving everybody with those post-draft shows.
Yeah, make sure you're subscribed to the Player Profile YouTube channel. Put that notifications bell on. You're not going to want to miss a single minute of what we got going on for the NFL draft weekend. You can find me at Matty Kewum on X. And that to just get ready for a whole lot of draft stuff. Theo, you covered it. Cannot wait. But boys, I'll see you in D2 in just a few days.
See you in the D.
See you in the D. We're going to have a Big Sean, big thing.
That's what they call it. Eight Mile Road. Cody's about to break it down like B-Rabbit.
Did you see the Eminem commercial with Roger Goodell?
No.
All right, Theo. Well, you just did a Roger Goodell right there. So you need to
Check it out. I don't know. I think that's probably a bad thing, everybody. But thanks for tuning in. Can't wait to see you guys at the draft.
Peace.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. Many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com. Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.